Are we recording? Okay. Big Dirty Beat on the beat.
All right.
I got this blood in my cup in a yellow and green. Walking kind of funny, yeah, I got that walking lean. Got this bitch on my dick and she looking kind of mean. Gave her to my men, yeah, gave her to my team. I got these blues on me, but I ain't ripping no seat. Got that AR, is it red, is it green? Keep fucking with me till you get hit with this beat. Hit you in the knee, yeah, keep you walking lean.
Come on, dog. Come on, dog.
That's just fire, bro. That's just fire.
Y'all thought we was playing, right? A couple months ago, King LeVon came on. Shout out to the Brody.
Facts.
Y'all thought we was playing. T-Bob, on the way.
It's coming real soon.
We had to take a couple step backs. You know what I'm saying?
One thing at a time.
Facts. One thing at a time. You know, we had to work on some things, but, you know, it's coming. Be patient. You know what I'm saying? So just quick preview, something like, just had to show some love to the team. Shout out Jaden, Brody. Shout out Jaden, did his thing.
Shout out King, too.
Facts. So, Trey, how you doing today, Brody? How's everything?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I can't complain. I'm quite blessed. Today, went to the gym, you know, got a decent night's sleep. Really can't complain, man. Quite happy. How about you?
I'm quite tired. I don't really know why. I've just been mad lethargic.
Really, man?
Yeah, I don't know why. Other than that, though, I'm good. I can't really complain too much. Really taking it day by day, similar to you, man. I'm blessed. Just keep
no major complaints, you know?
Nah, not really, bro. Not really. My life is good, nigga, being 23. Damn, I do what I want.
Young Stallion out here, man.
Yeah, bro, no kids, no nothing like
nothing
that.
Nothing to tie you down, no dependence?
Nah, man, nah. Got to hang out with the Brody yesterday, so that was
facts,
fun.
Facts, shout out.
Really, this whole weekend, really just hung out with the team. Hung out with Edward and Jaden Saturday. And then yesterday hung out with you and Osar.
How was it like hanging out with Edward and Jaden?
It was fun.
Yeah?
Frankly, that's how we made.
Yeah, made a little song.
Yeah, like, facts. But it was really just fun because it was really just us vibing.
It was like a while since y'all hang out, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen them in a minute. I don't remember. I know I saw Jaden a little bit more recently than I saw Edward. I haven't seen Edward in a while. So it was really cool to, like, see him, catch up with him. We watch football, bro. We really just chilled in his crib.
Which game you watch?
Both, really.
Oh, you watch both games?
Yeah.
Oh,
so we really just, like, chilled in his crib, made some music, which was a lot of fun because we're trying to work on this whole team album thing.
You enjoy the time in the studio?
Facts.
Yeah?
It's also cool. It's like, listen, we're not rappers. Like, we are not trying to be rappers. Like, I'm not just to make that clear.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, but it is kind of fun because, like, it's really just, like, no pressure. Because none of us are rappers, none of us are particularly, like,
you're taking
good.
You're just messing around.
Mainly just for fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes when you do a craft and you take it a little bit too seriously, you take the fun away.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
when there's, like, a business aspect of things, it's like you're losing the passion aspect of it.
Exactly.
It just takes a little bit of soul out.
Exactly. So, like, because I'm kind of just doing this just so I can say I have an album with my friends, there's, like, no pressure. Obviously, we want our shit to sound, like, decent and good.
Yeah,
but, like, there's no pressure of, bro, this shit has to sell X amount of units.
Yeah, y'all ain't trying to.
This shit has to make X amount of money. Like, I ain't really looking to make no type of money
from
it.
Exactly. It's merely just the idea of doing this with a friend.
For real.
So, like, years later, you can kind of look back and be like, yo, I have a song out.
Yeah, facts.
So, it's this song, and then you could, like, play for somebody.
Exactly. So, that's kind of how I look at it. And that's, frankly, a lot of that is kind of how I try to, like, look at the podcast.
True. Yeah,
even though,
yeah,
like, we're posting more, being more consistent and everything.
Remind you, like, why we're doing it.
Yeah, because I feel like the moment this shit starts to get a little bit too business, it's like,
yeah.
I ain't gonna like it no more.
This shit started
in a fucking, on a college campus with a studio, two mics. Yeah, for real.
With, like, two Yeti mics.
Two fucking Yeti mics. Nigga.
Two kids were just excited because them shit just got delivered. We're like, yo, we want to go record? I'm like, yeah, let's go do it, bro. Nothing
to talk about, bro.
Nah, for real. We talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Facts.
Aaron Rodgers and hypotheticals.
Like Julio Jones and shit like that. Yeah. I remember that. That's episode one.
Check out the pilot. Facts.
But whenever you kind of just don't look at it in terms of business, I just think it's a little bit more fun. It's a little bit more enjoyable. And you don't get sucked in too much by it.
I can see that.
So, and you know what? I kind of want to get in. I know we weren't supposed to get into this early, but I kind of want to a little bit.
What's up?
You said something in the gym. I forgot the question, to be honest. But it was like, how, in terms of, like, putting yourself out there.
In terms of putting yourself out there, yeah. how have you handled it so far?
I think that was the question.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you handled, because essentially, from the beginning of this year, we've, of course, been posting a lot more.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, we get certain feedback that you wouldn't. Not to mention, like, people can actually see our faces. You know, yeah, before it was just our voices. Now they're actually seeing who Tyler is, who Trey is.
Yeah.
So it's like, how have you handled, like, putting yourself out there? You know, being, we're not the type of people to do that in the first place.
Very new and just very different. I don't think in a bad way, but kind of like you were saying, we ain't really, I've never posted like this consistently.
We're not social media people.
Ever in my life. Beside the push-ups, which I don't even really count because it's like.
You also do that for the team.
Yeah, like I do that more for discipline aspects. So you don't really like see my face. I ain't really talking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Frankly, it's typically.
Just push-ups.
Music. Yeah. And I'm just doing push-ups, so like it's I don't really.
And it's just 20 of them, so it's like not even,
it's quick, bro. Not even that long. Talk about 20 second video type shit.
Yeah.
It's very different. I definitely do see not what people think of us, but it is kind of interesting to see like what comments say.
Yeah, facts.
People, like what people have to say
for real,
like
for
their
real.
Thoughts and shit. Like,
not to mention from the things that you end up saying, you know, like your opinions and such.
Yeah, people really don't fuck with. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'll say, when you say certain things or put your opinions out there, I feel like a lot of people kind of take those opinions to heart like they're facts.
Yeah, they take it on to themselves like you're talking to them.
Like it's personal. Like,
bro, if it don't
personal.
Align with what you're doing, then why are you even... And a lot of also people, something I also notice, you'll make a point, and then they'll make a point that has nothing to do with the point that you made. I'm like, bro, I'm talking about A, and you're bringing up B and C? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
That literally reminds me of yesterday. I forgot what video was posted. I forgot what, but one of us said something.
It was about, I think it was a video where I was saying, like, trying to encourage men out there or young guys to essentially find masculine role models.
And Shorty said something that had, like, nothing to do with the video at all, bro. And what made it so much funnier, someone, like, replied to hers.
Replied to her reply.
They're like, yo, the fuck is this?
This has nothing to do with what they said, though. Yeah.
But it is interesting. I was reading it, and I'm like confused. I'm like, wait, what? Did we even? Mm-hmm. I forgot. I played back the video again. I'm like, yo, did he say something? I'm like, nah. I'm like, okay. But it is definitely interesting, and it's something I'm still getting used to in terms of like putting my face out there. Because sometimes even posting now, I still get a little like nervous and shit.
Of course. I feel like that's just a natural reaction we all get.
Yeah.
Because that's putting yourself out there in the first place.
True.
You know,
true.
And putting yourself out there, you never know what kind of reactions you'll get. You know, people will like it. You know, people dislike it. You have no idea what the outcome of what you've said will be.
Oh, for real.
So with that unknownness, it's just like a natural, I don't know what's going to happen. So you're just a little bit nervous, but it's just kind of like pushing through that nerves, which a lot of people don't do, which is why a lot of people don't end up posting in the first place.
Yeah, pushing through those nerves. You kind of have to get over it.
Yeah.
Because you also got to understand too, like, and I'm realizing this more and more, just people just aren't really going to fuck with what you say. Let me rephrase that. Not everybody.
Not everyone, yeah.
Not everybody.
And that's just not possible because we all have different opinions.
Exactly. We all have different views on the world. We all have different views on specific topics as well. So you kind of get over that. And I actually think over time, the nervousness is just going to go away.
Yeah, because it's like repetition.
Exactly. But because I have never been like this and what we're like 20...
22 days in?
22 days in. So it's still relatively...
New.
It's still relatively new.
So it's not even a month.
Yeah, bro, for real, not even a fucking month, which is crazy, but it is something I'm slowly getting more and more used to. I think over time, eventually, I'm just gonna be like, it is what it is. But I'm curious, how's your experience of it and how you feel about
so,
because you the same like me, you really don't.
Yeah,
I'm
not a huge fan of social media and putting myself out there in the first place. I had experiences with it in the past though, of putting myself out there, and I had like more of a negative reaction to it, to wherein I kind of like closed myself off. Like, I don't want to.
Oh, so you did it at one point and then you were like, yo, fuck
this. Yeah. That's kind of like when I grew the Instagram to like 1,000 followers at one point and like was really putting myself out there in that sense.
Yeah.
And then like when I finally got what I wanted, I wasn't happy. So
really?
I don't even want to bother this.
So did you think that? All right, so because this was in high school, correct?
Yeah. So back in 2014.
So did you think that growing yourself to a specific place would have brought you happiness? Or once you got to that point, you would have been like...
Yeah, I thought so. And then God gave that to me. And I was like, this is not what I thought it would be, you know?
Frankly, did you feel worse than how you felt originally, or did you feel the same?
In what sense? What do you mean? Like, do I feel worse now? Or?
No, but like, Okay, so let's say you said you grew your shit to 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. And you, let's say you started at 200. I don't know where you started, but let's just say 200. Mm-hmm. But eventually you had that.
Yeah.
So when you were at 200 and you grew to 1,000, did you feel the same how you felt at 200, or did you feel worse than how you felt at 200?
I felt the same. I thought I would feel more elated, you know, because at the time I was more focused on like how many people were liking your shit, you know. Mm. That's when Instagram used to, they used to actually show the amount of numbers, the number of people that actually,
you know, they
liked
still
it.
They still show it now.
Do they really?
Yeah, but you could, and I noticed a lot of people do this. You can actually like turn it off.
Is that so?
So like our shit, you can see how many people like ours. Like if you go on our page, you can see that. But like, If we didn't want to show nobody,
you can turn it off.
We could turn that off.
Oh, I didn't know. I had no idea. I thought they got rid of that completely.
Nah, bro. They just give you the option now.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, back then there was no option.
There was no option. It was just one way.
And don't believe I'm the only kid that did this. A lot of us in high school, we're just focused on the likes and the followers and all that shit, you know?
Of course.
But I began to realize all that shit was superficial. Like,
true.
Having 1,700 followers, half of those people weren't even my friends. Maybe about 10 of those people actually knew who I was.
Actually, like, you know? That you actually talked to on a continuum. Exactly. That you would actually like text outside of school.
Exactly, exactly. And like going from, okay, posting the picture, only 10 people liking it, to posting the picture and 300 people liking it, I thought that would bring me happiness. It didn't. So when I realized that, I was like, yo, why am I doing this? Like, this isn't it. So I kind of like took myself away. And I believe the reason I don't feel that way now is because I'm doing it for a different purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it for the likes. I'm not doing it for followers.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because, one, I want to make memories with one of my best friends in the world. Thanks. And two, like, I believe people would enjoy what we do. Not to mention, people ask for it.
Like, people have asked for
it. They keep asking, like, when's the next episode coming out? Frankly, when we took that little hiatus, there were multiple people. Yo, why are y'all not posting? Like, I need my episode. So because of that, I'm beginning to see it's a little bit bigger than just me in that sense. Mm. And it brings me a little bit of a sense of pride. I just enjoy it as a hobby. So, like, because of that, it just elevates further.
It's like some positives to do with your time in a way.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I could be doing much worse. Damn. You know? Like, there are a lot of kids out there our age that are doing much, much worse.
That is true.
At least we're trying to spread some kind of positivity. Now, I know not everyone's going to agree with that positivity.
Nah, it was crazy. We've learned that firsthand.
One time, you said there was nothing negative in what you said. You're, like, actually trying to encourage people to, like, do some, like, good things. And then someone just had to talk shit. And I'm like, well, what does that have to do with anything?
It's like, yo, what's the point of this?
Yeah,
what's
the purpose? But it really does come to show, like, no matter whether or not you're posting good things, bad things, you just gonna
get mixed
responses, bro. It's just gonna happen.
You just gotta live with it.
Essentially. So I just take it day by day once again. I don't really focus on, oh, we got new followers this day or so and so liked that photo. Yeah. I'm like, all right, it's cool, but like, I'm still talking to my boy at the end of the day. Like, I still gotta do other things at the end of the day, you know?
Facts.
That's kind of how I take it.
That makes sense. Frankly, I look at it very much the same as you do. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the question of the day. Let's see what I really hope I... All right, cool. I did screenshot it.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I don't even know if I got it. All right, so the question is, you are allowed to choose which family you are born into for the next life.
Oh.
You're given these three choices. Which one would you pick? Option one, an extremely wealthy couple with slight marital problems. They live in a mansion in a very wealthy area with luxury cars. Both of your parents have worked less than a week of their life, but they are always busy with something and barely have time for you. Vacations are very frequent and are done in exotic locations like Maldives, Bali. Y'all get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Option two, a well-off couple with few marital problems. They live in a classic two-story suburban house with a basic car for each in a suburb. Both come from semi-humble backgrounds, and one is a doctor while another is a nurse. They have the weekends off for you and their family, along with an hour in the evening every couple of days a week. Vacations are taken 2 to 3 times a year, usually overseas. Option three is a working-class couple with no marital problems. Both are recent migrants that work entry-level jobs. They live in an apartment in a big city, which they rent. They have much more time off for you as they don't bring any work home. Vacations are taken once a week, usually a road trip to a different state. All options are basically families that live in the United States.
Okay. And you said vacations are taken once a week?
Once a year. For option three?
Once a year.
For option three, it's once a year.
Okay, okay. Interesting. Interesting. Do you have a response already, or would you like me to go?
I'd like you to go. Okay, I'm curious on how.
I'm going to actually pick option three.
Okay. So you're going to pick the working class couple.
The working class couple that has no marital issues, that on the weekends has time for me as a child, and we take vacations, I guess, once a year. That would have to be my my choice.
Why is that?
Frankly, that's kind of what I come from already. You know, that's what I'm used to. I don't come from money. You know, like I come from, and I'm not gonna say I come from trenches either. Like I didn't really grow up in the hood. Like I had a decent upbringing. Yeah. You know, so I'm more used to, I guess, having that type of a life.
Okay.
So that's probably what I would go to. The biggest thing for me though that kind of stood out would probably be the fact that the parents don't have any marital issues. You know, there's a lot of people who they have marital issues, and they, you can't understate how much of an effect that has on kids.
That is true.
You know, hearing kids or not, excuse me, not kids, hearing their parents argue at night, you know, while the kids in the room sleeping, mm-hmm. that has an effect on them. You know, maybe the dad puts his hands on the mom. So he's like, damn, now that kid has that vision of, well, maybe this is okay to do, you know, all of it trickles down to them.
Okay.
So if they don't have no marital issues, they have time for me as a kid. They're willing to spend time with me and such. What more could I really want? They're providing for me as parents.
That's true.
They're willing to give to me as a kid.
That's true.
So I kind of see that as a beneficial thing. You know, the reason I probably wouldn't pick the first one is they wouldn't have time for me. As much as it'd be lavish, I get to have the vacations and all that stuff. Like, where are my parents at,
bro? There's a story. It's hard for me to really say the story, but I'll kind of give you a gist. But it was basically like, there was this kid, and he basically grew up damn near option one, like very wealthy, but his parents really have time for him. But he grew up in like a very wealthy, his parents were rich, he whatever he wanted, he can get. I'm not sure if he was a prince or what he was, but we're talking about he was well off.
Question, was it during this time or is it back in the day?
I think it was back in the day.
Okay.
Like, this is like a while ago. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I say this to say that he was like quite depressed. And like,
really?
Like sad, even though he had like everything.
Because he ain't had the love and the affection from his parents.
Exactly.
That's a big thing, man. That's a very big thing.
Sometimes even a struggle is like, it's kind of like good for you.
Yeah, adversity creates character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It also helps you like cope. And I think in the scenario with this guy was, he had a very hard time because he never knew what hard times was. He was always given everything.
Yep.
And but crazy enough, he ended up being depressed. Mm-hmm. To live in a mansion, to have millions of dollars, they were very wealthy. He basically could do whatever he wanted. Whatever he wanted, he got. But it was very, very sad. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy. Mm. I'd actually pick option two.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Crazy enough. You know what's crazy? I feel like our options are kind of similar to how we are right
now. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It kind of comes back
because,
to what we,
like I said, what we've experienced. I didn't really, me personally, I also didn't grow up from money.
Yeah.
But I did kind of grow up a little bit well off. Mm. My parents, I'm very blessed. My sister saw more of the struggle than I did. Mm. But by the time I was born, my parents were kind of on the up and up. We're moving out of the hood.
Yeah.
Like
my parents
both came from very humble backgrounds. They both were very, very poor.
Yeah.
My mother grew up basically like in the country down south. My father grew up in the hood in New York City. So like, they had no money. I remember them telling me a lot of stories. They're broke. They had no money.
Yeah.
And when my sisters came along, they still were broke.
They still
had no money. But around that time, I think my father ended up getting a good job. My mother got a good job. And they were both working. But by the time I came along,
that progression was already there.
Basically were like, yo, like they saw progress. They already put all those years together. Mm-hmm. I came along. Now they're like, okay, we're going to actually kind of move out the hood.
Yeah.
So my sisters got that.
They experienced that earlier.
So they experienced both.
Yeah.
They experienced growing up in the hood and it being rough. And then they kind of experienced, oh, shit, this is what it's like in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of blessed because I came along.
You only experienced the suburbs.
Exactly. We moved to the suburbs. I was one.
That's all you know.
That's all I knew.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. We ain't take as many vacations, like 2 to 3 times a year. Yeah, that wasn't a thing. So I think that part would be kind of cool. I do agree with you. It's very good to, it's best, I don't think it's best that they have no type of marital problems, but that definitely does take a toll, and it can take a toll.
I think if you have marital problems, just try to keep it to y'all two.
But here's the one thing, though, that I've kind of noticed. Because I feel like everybody, this is obviously a hypothetical.
Of course.
There's marital problems in every marriage.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
No marriages.
It's going to happen.
But here's a good thing, I guess, as a kid seeing marital problems, is you kind of see how they work through it. So, like,
okay,
you could kind of see
How it's handled.
Exactly. So, like, okay, y'all are beefing. Y'all are mad at each other. I might hear you guys screaming or whatever. But I kind of could see them essentially work through it and get past it.
Yeah,
so now
yeah.
I can kind of see, like, oh, this is how marriage is. My parents have been married for 25, 26 years.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, all that shit wasn't all cookies
sunshine
and cake.
Sunshine and rainbows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what I kind of enjoyed, I mean, I hated when they argued, but like what I also kind of saw was like, oh, like y'all worked past it.
Yeah.
Like y'all didn't argue and then leave.
Exactly.
Y'all didn't argue and then one of them left.
They
and,
never
and
gave up.
Exactly. So it showed to me like, oh shit, like y'all could still argue and beef, but like that shit don't break the family.
Because they knew the arguments were bigger than them. They got three kids to take care of.
Exactly.
Three so dependents.
It kind of viewed... It kind of helped me see how a marriage should work or even how a relationship should work. It's like, even though y'all beefing, that doesn't mean that we're going to end a relationship. Just because we're upset with each other does not mean that now everything is going to be over. It's like, nope, we're going to continue to talk it out. We're going to continue to work it out. And we're going to find a way to move past this. And frankly, all of us, you know, I'm the youngest. I'm 23. My sisters are much older. But my parents are still together. They've been together for 26 years. And we all done seen them argue. But
yeah,
we also saw that, oh, bro, like essentially like that love prevailed. Like, that shit ain't fail. They didn't let it fail. They didn't let stupid, petty arguments last that long. And they essentially found a way to work it out and talk it out and then get back to loving each other. So I think that was, like, the good thing of seeing my parents argue. Because, like, damn, it sucks mom and dad are arguing. But it's like, oh, wow, you guys still, well, y'all worked it out. Oh, we cool again. Oh, wow, okay, okay. So now when I'm, like, when I have my relationships, that's kind of how I try to.
Do the same.
Exactly. Like, just because we argue does not mean the relationship's over.
Uh-huh.
It just means we're going through a rough patch. Depending on what we're arguing about, of course. Like, if it's cheating or something like that, that's a little different.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
But
just
because y'all argue does not mean it needs to be over. And that's
what disagreements are going to happen.
And that's kind of what seeing a little bit of marital beef taught me. So I actually kind of appreciated it a little.
You know, that's a very interesting point you bring up. I never really thought about it like that, wherein the kids seeing that. Because I've always heard of stories of kids hearing their parents argue and it really having like an effect on them.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of adults, they have trauma from childhood that they never work through.
True.
And they end up bringing it into the relationships. So I think it's a very interesting point that you bring up, wherein as parents, when you like argue with your husband or your wife, y'all work through it and actually show the kids you're working through it.
Yeah.
So they have a good idea of, okay, especially your daughter seeing how dad works through things with mom and vice versa, how son sees how dad that works things through mom and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's I think it's a very good example of how to kind of like conflict resolution
type shit.
I think it's a very good example of that. But I actually want to come back to something you had said earlier, the kid who was depressed. Now, we have aspirations of being very wealthy men one day.
Yeah.
When you have children, how will you manage having your wealth and showing them you got to work through certain things?
I think a huge thing is just like, and kind of similar to just how I raised, I got a lot of things that I wanted, but it was basically like, you still had to work for it.
So you earned the things that you
wanted. So like, just because I'm like, yo, I want an Xbox, they're not going to that day go buy an Xbox. It's just not how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my parents, we were not poor, but we weren't rich. So at the same time, you know, at the time, Xbox is how much?
$300, $500, $400.
Like, bro, like, we got a mortgage to pay. I'm about to go fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd be financially smart.
Exactly. But that kind of just taught me, like, I had to do certain things to get, like, if I had bad grades, I know it was a wrap. You know, if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, I know it was a wrap. If I didn't do the chores around the house, I knew I couldn't get none of that. And because they didn't give it to me right away, it kind of showed me, oh, okay, I got to earn it. I basically got to earn it. And also just watching my parents and watching my sisters, I kind of realized, oh, okay, I got to earn whatever I want, I got to work for. Whatever I want, I got to earn.
Well, that makes sense. But let me ask you this, right? You want to have like a really nice house, really nice cars, all these things. Your kids, they're going to see that. So they're going to know daddy got money. They're going to know come from all that. How are you going to kind of like not let them have this high horse of privilege that they feel better than people who don't?
That's a very hard question. I think you have to explain it to them a little bit. And kind of like what I was saying before, whatever they want, whether they ask for, just don't give it to them right away. Mm. Make them earn it. Find some type of, you know.
Say no.
You ever heard of, you ever heard of Patrick Bet-David?
I mean, I'll be better with faces. I'm not good with names.
Essentially, he's a very successful guy.
Okay.
But how he actually rewards his kids is through reading. He's like, really? He's like, pages are currency. So they're like, yo, I want an Xbox. He's like, all right, bro, that's like 20 books.
Oh,
read 20 books and then you'll get it. And he is like, if you look him up, he's a wealthy, we're not talking about poor. He makes money, bro. He's huge. He's very influential. Mm. But that's how he raises his kids. He actually, and he also disciplines his kids like tremendously. He was like talking about, I saw in an interview regarding how his kids, like his kids go to school, come home from school. After that, they do their homeworks. Then they have like swimming practice. Then they do like martial arts. And they do baseball practice. Then they do like he has their kids
regimented. Yeah, that's
and
smart.
And it's funny enough because his kids are like, yo, like none of the other kids like do this. And his response is basically like, well, you're not other kids.
Exactly, you're different.
Yeah, his last name is Bet-David, so he's like, yo, you're a Bet-David. Like we don't do like you're not. Mm-hmm. You don't do what the other kids do. Like, you do this.
Yeah.
But that's how he could easily buy whatever he wants. But he has like a currency system. So he's like, apparently books is his thing. So he's like, yo, that's 20 books. Read 20 books and then you'll get it.
I like that. I actually might use that when I have
facts. I did think, I was like, damn, that's actually kind of fire. Mm. So I think if I implement something maybe along those lines. But I think a lot of it is just how you continue to teach them. I think a lot of it is also what I understand what we have. But there are still certain values. And I think if they understand your story and how hard you work to get there over time, they'll slowly start to realize. Obviously, when they're a kid, I think it's a little bit harder to explain, but as they get older and if you keep that same discipline with them, they start to realize certain shit.
Yeah, then they gain those marks too.
Exactly. And I just think also like just making someone work for it is just different. Because at the same time, you have all this stuff. You have $20 million. You have all those cars. That's you. That's not the kid.
Yeah, that's not their possessions.
Your responsibility is just to make sure they're fed and that they're under the roof. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they're not obligated to any of the luxuries, bro.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
So you kind of just telling them like, no, and you just let them know what it is and what they might be upset at you. They might be mad at you.
Yeah.
It is what it is. There are many times I was mad at my parents. I wanted something, they said no.
Yeah, vice versa.
Or I had to wait for it, or I had to do something I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. I got over it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And that's just kind of.
They still fed you. They still put clothes on your back.
They did the important thing.
They still gave you a bed to sleep in.
They did the important thing.
They still sent you to school.
Exactly.
They still got you an education.
Exactly. Yeah. I had clothes on my back. I had food to eat. I had a place to sleep. I didn't want for anything. I know I said, "Oh, I want this. I want this," but in all reality,
all your needs were met.
Exactly. As a kid, it's kind of hard to understand that because I want an Xbox now.
Yeah,
I want a PlayStation right now. Yeah, I want video games now.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a kid, you don't realize what the real important things are. You're fucking 8. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
But
yeah,
now,
true.
Looking back on it, I'm a little bit older. I'm like,
you see what they were doing.
Exactly. So I think you kind of just got to stand firm in whatever you believe. So even though I have all this other stuff, I actually don't want my kids to be a spoiled brat. So there's just certain things I either won't give them or you can have it. But you're just going to have to work for it. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the unfortunate part about it is because a lot of parents don't teach their kids this. Those kids end up growing up and they do the same thing with their own kids.
Yeah.
So then we just have generations upon generations of people who don't have those morals to follow.
Exactly. I do think it's hard, though, when you have a lot of money. Because, like, everything is just different. I think regardless, they're still going to... Even if you teach them this certain discipline, they're still going to live a different life than a lot of the other kids.
Of course. But, I mean, if you kind of... I think Jackie Chan... It might be Jackie Chan. I'm not positive. But I believe there is this actor. I think it is Jackie Chan. He was like, his son's not going to get any of his money. His son essentially has to work for all the money he ever wants. Like, when he dies or whatever, he's just going to give it to charity or some stuff.
I think Steve Harvey said some shit like
that. He said that, too?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yo, this shit my money.
Exactly. I went through all the struggles. Because Steve Harvey went, like... Three times homeless. He went through all that stuff. So it's his money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I can completely understand why they're like, listen, if you want to make that, you got to figure it out for yourself. Yeah. You didn't earn that money. I just raised you.
Exactly.
That's my job was just to raise you and to turn you into a decent adult.
Exactly.
Now, with all those things that I've taught you, make your own money.
Facts.
Make your own legacy.
Facts.
Have your own large family and do your own thing with your own kids. And then when you're in my position, you'll do the same.
That makes sense. I'm assuming you would. How would you answer that question?
I would have my kids volunteer. A lot.
Oh, so you have a new volunteer work.
Yeah. We'd go to Africa and help those people out. Essentially just countries that have less.
So you would want them to see the struggle.
Yeah, no. Yeah, for real. Because sometimes you don't even have to put someone through the struggle. Just show them what it was like.
That is true.
You know?
Sometimes just being there for like a week or a couple of days or something is enough to kind of like...
Yeah.
Exactly. Or some like scare straight shit.
For real. Like, this could be you if you don't work. Yeah, I would literally have them like give back to lesser people who don't have all the luxuries that they have been gifted by the work that I have kind of given, you know? Just show them, listen, like, you are blessed to have been raised in this family that has this much.
Yeah.
You know, you are not better than anybody. You could have been born with like one of them. That's, you know, true. You don't know what kind of situation you'll be born into in whatever life. You don't know what kind of cards you'll be dealt.
That's true.
You know, so you kind of just got to be grateful for what has been given to you. Understand that what you got, you had to work for. And then just kind of instill in them, you know, give back. Mm. We've been put in this position to wherein we have all this money. We have all this wealth. It's not just for us to hoard. Find a way to bless other people, because that's why God gave it to you in the first place.
Facts.
Find a way to give back to other people, because you can be in their situation. And I know for a fact you would want someone to come back and bless you.
Yeah.
You know, you would want someone to help you out in your time of need.
Yeah.
So when you have those opportunities, when you have those abilities, might as well give it out. And that's what I would try to instill in them constantly, you know?
And, you know, kind of to go back to the question earlier, like that hypothetical we answered. And I know you picked option 3, which honestly is like the worst option.
Financially, it is the worst option.
It's like the worst option.
Yeah, of course.
But here's the one thing about like kind of growing up poor or like growing up like not being rich. I think if you grow up a little bit poor, and then now you have managed to obtain some type of wealth, you kind of appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you know, you actually have firsthand experience of what it was.
Yeah, when, man. You know what it's like.
You had nothing.
You know what it's like.
When it was hard nights, when you didn't eat much or whatever, you had to eat, sleep or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now when you have all this money, you can kind of reflect and mm-hmm. be like, damn, I used to have nothing.
And you know, Tyler, that's it's a big reason why I'm quite happy right now. And a lot of people don't understand. And I remember freshman year, you're like, bro, how is this kid so happy? Because
yeah.
I remember times coming from Jamaica, living there, having nothing at times. I remember times when I have food to eat sometimes, you know?
Yeah, none.
Like, damn, we just got to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Of course, tried to do our best to make it what you could, but like, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
And I come to America, I have this life. It might not be a lot to some people, but it's a lot to me because I remember having nothing.
Exactly.
You know, and you're grateful for that. And it is genuinely true when you're saying, like, growing up in a rich family, you just not go understand what it's like having nothing of it. It's just how it is,
yeah.
You know? And that's not the kid's fault. That's just what you were born into.
It's just what you're born into. You can't control what family you're born into.
Exactly.
You can't control none of that.
It's just for your parents to instill in you, all right, you kind of have to do it a little bit more now that, hey, remind your kids, this isn't just you.
Yeah.
You didn't earn this.
Yeah.
It's just what happened. Now you just got to know, be humble. Don't go out bragging and say, I got this, I got this, I got this. Well, no, your father has that. Your mother has that. Yeah. You don't have anything.
True.
You're 8.
True.
What do you know about iPhones? What do you know about Bentley cars? Yeah. You know, and at the end of the day, also, when your kids are doing that, that has a bad reflection on you as a parent. Because it's like, yo, you can't teach your kids to be humble. Of course, hey, you got all this money and stuff, but like, you can't teach your kids some type of respect, because those are the same people that's going to be like, I've seen these Instagram videos and these TikToks of like really rich, wealthy kids when they get like arrested. Like, oh, my daddy's this or my daddy's that. You're like, oh, my dad's so-and-so. Like, you're going to try to use your father's name to get you out of trouble? Like, what kind of privilege do you think you have? You still did something wrong. You're no better than anybody else.
Yeah. That's true.
But like, I stole something. My dad works at McDonald's. That won't get you nowhere, bro.
Nah. But I think that's where the money aspect comes in. Because they'll say who their father is, like, yo, basically my father or my mother has this much money to, like, they finna get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to brag about a father or a mother who works at McDonald's because, like, yo, you know, there you go.
That is true.
Bale said 100,000.
But that is true. But I guess the point where I was trying to make, it doesn't take away from the crime or whatever you did.
Oh, of course not. Of course
just not. Because you have a wealthy parent or a poor parent, you still did something that you weren't supposed to do.
100%.
You know, it makes no difference. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at.
That makes a lot of sense. And you're absolutely right. It's kind of hard for me to argue that point specifically. But I think it happens. I also think some of it,
actually, I think the early years are very important, but I think some of it you can't even fully blame the parents. Because I also just think over time we all become our own people.
True, true. Yeah, I agree with that.
So they might have had humble beginnings, but at the same time, they were kind of just like, regardless, I feel like I'm entitled to a certain extent. Especially also, you don't know who else these kids are hanging out with.
True,
they might go to a wealthy. They kids. Might go to a wealthy school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that could be everyone's mindset at the wealthy school.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
So yeah. It's like
it's kind of like status at that point.
Exactly.
Like who is what cliques are with the rich kids, and I'm assuming it gets even more pressure at that point because if you're going to a wealthy school where everyone's rich, it's kind of like damn. Well, you're a middle class family. You're technically still rich, but like because you're with all these other wealthy kids, it's like you're the poor one.
You could be, yeah.
You know, when in turn, if you were to go to a regular public school, you'd be the rich one.
You'd be top, top nigga.
So I could understand, and I guess in that sense, it might be a little bit stressful for them. But I don't know, man. I think as an adult, you kind of have to, at some point, you got to take responsibility for yourself. I guess it happens at 18. You kind of have to take responsibility for yourself, and you got to make the right choices.
I think it's hard to. I don't think many 18-year-olds take responsibility for yourself. I think at 18, I also think you're still very young. I understand you're 18, and in the eyes of the law, you're an adult. But let's be honest, you're fresh out of college. You're fresh out of high school. How much of an adult are you gonna be? I also even think about like...
But you can still take accountability, man.
Yeah, but...
You can still take responsibility for the things you did.
Without a...
If you take responsibility for all the good things you did, you got to take responsibility for the bad ones, too.
I'm not arguing that per se, but I'm just saying it's kind of hard to a certain extent to ask an 18-year-old to do that because they're coming right out of high school. So to a certain extent, they still, just because they turn 18 doesn't mean they don't still have the same thinking that they did at 17. What kind of changes that, in my opinion, is some experiences you go through. Because I even think us, to a certain extent, I'm not saying we didn't take responsibility at 18, but I have a feeling if we were to look back at our 18-year-old souls now, we'd be like, yo, these niggas are low-key wildin'. Like, some of the things we did. Some of the stuff we did is just like, yo, like, now we'd be like, yo, that's hella immature.
You wouldn't do those things.
Exactly. That's
hella immature. But I do still believe we would have taken accountability for shit if, like, stuff hit the fan.
I think we would have, yes, but just because you would have doesn't mean other people would.
All right, that is true. I guess we can't really hold our morals to everyone else's.
Yeah.
Else's
so I understand you thought. Might, but other people might not. Everyone also matures at a different level. There's some people at 18 who are very mature, but there's also people at 18 who aren't as mature.
But then you gotta ask yourself, what's the point of going to high school? It's to teach you those things. It's to teach you accountability,
Did you learn accountability in high school?
Yeah, because I did things and I got in trouble, and I had to take accountability for them. Not only just in high school, just throughout my life, but like, yeah, I definitely had to take accountability for things that I did.
But here's the thing. Just because people get in trouble doesn't mean they're going to take accountability for it. Kind of like you were saying before, the example of someone committed a crime and now they're like, yo, my daddy's going to pay for it. That's just because you're in trouble doesn't mean you take responsibility.
That's true.
Taking responsibility is you realizing like, this is my fault.
And you know, to that point, I know adults older than us that don't take accountability. So it's just kind of like
I've had a grown man ain't take accountability. I've had a grown man look me in my eye ain't take accountability for something he did, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, So I think it's more of a, and the only reason why I said the whole 18 thing is because you're fresh out of high school, you're still very very young compared to someone who kind of has lived life a little bit. Kind of realized certain things, went through certain experiences, and understood. Oh, okay, but think about it. In high school, you're still taken care of. You're still your parents' responsibility. I understand you're 18, but a lot of times they're still their parents' responsibility.
That's true.
Yeah. And I think, especially for me, I could speak for me personally. I always was able to take accountability. I noticed I was relatively mature for my age, but I don't think I really started noticing shit until I went to college. Because that's when everything changed, where I wasn't around my parents, I didn't have like that safety net, so to say. Not saying they didn't take care of me, because they still did while I was in high school, but it's just completely different because now I'm on my own. I can't just go home and know that mom has a home cooked meal for me.
True, yeah. You
I come to my dorm.
Yeah,
like, all I got is ramen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
maybe some cornflakes.
Yeah, for real. So it's a completely different shift. And it wasn't really until I had a little bit more to struggle when I realized like, oh, okay, shit, damn, a lot of this shit does fall on me. Oh, a lot of these things are always because of me.
Oh, okay. Then I kind of changed my how I view the world.
Do you believe 18-year-olds should know to take accountability, at least? I know that some don't, but do you think they should know this?
I think to a base level, yeah. Mm. I think to a certain extent they definitely should. Like, you got to learn to take accountability for your actions. Now, I understand even at 18, you're still going to be quite childish.
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I didn't say at 18 I wasn't childish. Yeah. I wasn't doing things that I'm like, bro.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I do think to a certain extent you should take accountability. Or you should at least know that your actions have consequences.
Yeah.
And frankly, you're going to have to be the one to bear said consequences if you do something wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have to agree with you there, man, because I'm like, you can vote at 18.
Yeah.
So if you have that responsibility to vote, you have that responsibility to shape a country, then you should be able to have the ability to take accountability.
But I don't think a lot of people think in terms of that. You just said you have the ability to shape a country. How many 18-year-olds are thinking, oh, I can vote now, which means I can now impact this country. I can now shape this country. I don't think a lot of people look at it that way. Because when I was 18, I didn't look at, oh, I can shape a country. I was just like, oh, okay, cool. I can vote now. All right, cool.
Like, which is another thing you could do.
It was just another thing I could do. Mm-hmm. Like a little like achievement unlocked type shit. okay, cool. I can vote.
I think that's the thing, but we, us as 18-year-olds at the time, we kind of didn't understand.
Nah.
You know,
but it's not until I feel like you go through certain experiences that you understand certain things.
It's unfortunate that it takes so long sometimes.
Well, that's why I think experience comes into play.
But shouldn't your parents kind of put you in those experiences at a young age to kind of set you up for that?
I don't think
so. You don't have to go through it in regards to where it's negatively impacting your life. Because there are certain people, it takes literally them hitting rock bottom just to figure that out. Well, something that your parents could have put you through at a young age so you could see. You got to go through where you lose everything.
I don't think your parents can put you through what it's like living alone in this world. Because they are legally, they are responsible.
No, I understand that. But they can put you through situations where you need to be responsible. Where you need to take accountability. Where you understand the actions that you're taking have consequences. And they affect not just you, but other people sometimes.
But I just feel like sometimes, especially for certain people, you need certain experiences. For me, I needed to be on my own. That's for me. Some people might understand at a younger age. I didn't really understand until it really was just me in the dorm or when I was living at my own apartment. It was just me in the apartment. Sometimes you need to be alone to realize, holy shit, you know? And the thing is, I understand what you're saying with parents, but I also think, especially if your parents really love you, they always going to want you to be better than what they were. They always going to want to. So there's just certain things they're not going to put you through. My parents is not going to ever put me in the hood and be like, yo, stay here for a week and then leave. You know what I'm saying?
No, but I believe there are other things that could be done to replicate that, I guess.
Do you have any examples?
In regards to taking responsibility?
No, but like what parents can do to kind of
help you show them accountability and responsibility?
Yeah.
I guess coming to mind would be kind of putting your child in charge of something around the house that they needed to take care of. And that they understood that's not just benefiting you, that's benefiting the family. You're doing something that is beneficial to the family. I think a good example of this would be kids in the past. They would help out on the farms. If you don't help out on the farm, you're not going to eat. So that's a responsibility. You got to wake up early in the morning. You got to go out there, feed the animals, you know, sow the crops, whatever you had to do.
Yeah.
That's a responsibility. And it was instilled in them at a young age to where, and when they grew up, they knew, okay, there are certain decisions that need to be made. If I sleep in, the crop's not going to get sown to where in next day or whenever we had to like pick the crops, we would lose certain things.
I don't fully disagree with you, and I understand where you're coming from. But I guess like that works really well, but like I'll speak for me personally. I ain't have no farm.
Yeah, that's just an analogy, though.
Yeah, I understand, but I guess
I'm sure there's modern day versions of what that would look like. You know, like if your kid has pets or something, okay, you're in charge of taking care of this dog. You make sure he's fed. You make sure he goes out. And frankly, if you don't take care of him, dog dies. That's on you.
Yeah, but I just think also like as a kid, like for instance, for someone who had a pet, like I had a pet, and part of my responsibility was like walking him and all this other stuff. But I still think just because I was a kid, there was just still, I understood that I had to kind of take a responsibility for it. But at the same time, I still think there was a lot of times where I kind of just like slacked off. There's times I woke up, I ain't walked the dog, and I was pissed on the floor. I'm like, ah,
this you got to clean it up.
This is unfortunate. Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is that the punishment I would get for that or the consequences just aren't that big. So theoretically, like, cool, it's fine. Mom and dad might yell at me, but sometimes you need a real consequence to kind of get your shit in order. That's why the whole hitting rock bottom. Now, for me,
I don't disagree with that.
Thank you, Lord.
It's kind of tough.
Thank you, Lord. I ain't never had to hit rock bottom. But I've had some rough nights. Sometimes I believe those rough nights are really what helped me understand, yo, I need to take responsibility. And my parents did teach me to take responsibility. So luckily, when I was 18, I kind of already, you know what I mean?
I think you should have the baseline
level. Hurdle level. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess maybe that's what I'm alluding arguing to. Per se.
Yeah, yeah.
I do believe you need to have the baseline. I do think your parents should make sure you have a certain level of responsibility. But I think you kind of take that next step when you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just certain things that your parents just can't teach you. And I think
true.
There's just certain things that life, you have to go through life to kind of understand, oh shit, like I actually got to take responsibility for this. Or, oh shit, I actually fucked up. Now, hopefully it's nothing big. Hopefully it's nothing to where you got to go to prison or you hit rock bottom or some bankrupt shit or something like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there are some people who actually just have to learn the hard way. There are some people who literally have to hit rock bottom to like be like, okay.
I've seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, bro.
You know? I know what you're talking about. It, I guess, and then this is something I must remind myself, of course. You know, I'm not like everyone else. So things that I'm not understanding, that's just how it is. Like, I feel as though at 18, I didn't fully know to take responsibility for everything, you know, but there were decisions that I understood you shouldn't do because they could negatively impact your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know? And I see kids younger than me making those choices, and I'm like, bro, why are you stealing cars at 17? What are you doing? You know? Like, when I was living at my mom's house, she called me into her room one time, and she was like, show me something on the news. And it was a kid, it was like 15, and this other friend, it was like 14. They both stole a car, and they were joyriding. Crashed and died. It's like, why couldn't you put two and two together? This is not the smart decision to do.
Yeah.
Both families lost two kids. Now, it's affected not just those two, but the rest of the families.
Yeah.
And whoever else they might have gotten in a car accident with. But it's like those... I guess I just didn't understand that at the time, and now I'm kind of like seeing more.
But it's kind of like the saying, common sense is a common for everybody. So just because you know that that's not smart to do doesn't mean homie over there know that's not smart to do. And sometimes homie over there has to actually get bit in the ass to understand that that's not smart to do.
But let me ask you this, to the best of your ability, what makes me any better than homie over there?
I'm not saying you're any better at all. But everybody views the world differently. Kind of like how we talked about earlier.
Perceptions.
Exactly. Like, we're talking about earlier about putting ourselves out there, right? We'll say something positive and somebody just come roast us.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Or we'll say our opinion on a subject that might be a little controversial and now everyone is just like, just bashing at us because they think something differently. Not saying that my opinion is better than theirs, but we just view the world differently. So sometimes it's just your perception and how you think. You might know, okay, I don't think this is a smart idea. Also, I think also you might think in terms of the long term. You're like, okay, if I take this car, what is the long term effects? Well, the long term effects is, okay, well, if I get caught, I get...
You go to your...
Some people, especially younger kids in our generation, a lot of people don't think long term.
Mm.
You're thinking...
Down the line.
5 years from now.
Yeah.
They're thinking 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I think we both can agree.
Yeah.
If we stole a car...
Yeah, yeah.
The first 5 minutes is probably electrifying.
You're just joyriding on the highway.
We won, bro.
You were successful.
But then, okay, you flip the whip. You ain't think about that.
Nah.
Now, you might have thought, damn, well, actually, what if I fuck around and crash?
Mm.
Well, damn, if I crash, then damn, now the police going to come. They're going to ask me, yo, whose car is this?
Yeah.
They're going to look at the registration. My name's not on the registration.
It's not yours.
They're going to be like, yo, who are you? Yeah. Do you even have a license?
Yep.
Now, but person over here might not be thinking it. So I'm not saying you're better than someone else, but I just think you guys just kind of view the world differently.
Oh, okay, I see.
Your perceptions are different. I think also your environment helps like that. I think part of how you're kind of, I believe your environment affects that to a certain extent, how you're raised affects that, so your parents. But also a lot of it too.
I think your environment is actually quite huge, yeah.
It's also like who you're friends with.
Yeah, who you're around. Cause
so like those are two guys.
Yeah.
They probably thought that shit was cool. Now imagine if they're with someone else. Now let's say if one of them, let's say if it was you and one of the other dude want to steal it. You might have fucked around and might have actually told him not to do it.
Like, nah, nigga, chill.
It could have been exactly. He could have brought up the idea. And you're like, bro, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's like, all right, well, I'm not going to do it. He could have brought up the idea to the other dude, and he's like,
that sounds great.
Exactly. And sometimes if someone else agrees with your idea, he's like,
well, it might maybe be a good idea.
Yeah, fuck it, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's see what happens.
See what happens.
Exactly. Regardless if it's stupid or not.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what. That's how my answer would be to that question.
Okay. I see your point. It
we're all different, man.
Yeah, I can only really hope that any kids I ever have in the future, what I instill in them, they are strong enough to have, and I hope my genetics has something to do with it as well. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but
I think it does. But I don't know.
I can't speak on it. I know myself. I'm very strong minded. Yeah. I tend to be a leader in things. Like I'm the one who brings up a specific idea, and I would try to instill that in my kids. Yeah. Like, listen, don't follow. I was always told as a kid not to follow your friends. Have your friends follow you.
Yeah, I was told.
You be the one that's kind of like running shit and in charge and like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Because whenever I follow my friends, I notice I got in trouble. I'm like, damn, like this is probably not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
When I started, I'll get y'all together. I'll tell us what we're doing. We still stayed out of trouble.
Yeah.
Because whatever I was trying to get us done, we weren't doing anything that was, i.e. illegal, getting us in trouble, yeah. You know, fights and all that stuff. So I would do my best to instill my children. To essentially be leaders, men and women alike, you know, try not to follow certain friends. I'd also pay attention to the kids my children are hanging out with to the best of my ability. And kind of coming back to what I've said in past podcasts, try to set them up wherein they are in a community that is beneficial to them.
Yeah.
You know, I do think environment where you come from is a very, very big thing as to what you will become. True. You know, say a kid comes from the suburbs, there's a higher chance they go to college than a kid from the hood, and that makes sense regardless of how hard their work ethic might be, just because of, you know, the economic
yeah. It kind of like we kind of said earlier too, like as a kid you really can't control what you're born
into.
I was blessed to be born into growing up in a suburb,
middle class family.
There's other people who
don't have that.
Exactly. You know? They're born in the hood. They're born with a lot of...
Born just from one parent, you know.
Exactly.
Born with no parents sometimes.
You can't control who your parents are. You can't control where you're born.
No.
You know? What I will also say is this, too. As a parent, I feel like you can try your best. But I do also think, no matter how hard you try, once they kind of go out your own, you can only hope that they just hold on to those values that you instilled in them. Because
yeah,
I do true. Think because eventually
that's true.
We all change as people.
Yeah.
And once you're out your parents' house, it's really up to you.
It's whatever you want to do.
I know what my parents taught me and what they instilled in me.
Yeah.
Now, once I moved out, I don't have to.
You have to listen.
I could be a drug addict. I could do whatever. I could do whatever I want. I'm an adult.
You could be trapping.
Exactly, bro. So I think some of it too kind of falls on the kid. Even as a parent, no matter how hard you try, once they kind of move out your house, once they 18 or 19 or whatever they move out, it's kind of on them. No matter how great of a parent you are, it's on them to make the right decisions.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, I can agree with that. I guess I'm kind of coming too crazy at parents. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. Maybe I think they should take a little more accountability. I don't know.
It's y'all fault.
Listen, I'm not going to say it's their fault, but I do believe, because a lot of the reason why some adults are messed up these days is because of how they were raised.
I guess
you
that.
Know, I can completely understand once you leave your parents' house, it's on you to fix yourself, not them.
Yeah.
You know, they gave you life, they took care of you for 18 years or however long, and then you're out on your own. So after all the decisions that happen after that is you.
Yeah.
But I do believe a lot of people could be saved if a certain thing was just done a little bit differently at the childhood, you know?
But I'll say this. I guess kind of defend parents a little bit.
Yeah.
There's no, like,
guide.
Yeah, there's no perfect thing. Yeah,
like there's no
true.
You're kind of just to a certain extent winging it. Like it's not like there's like, yo, here's this book. If you follow this book to a T, your kid is gonna come out perfect. There's none of that. So to a certain extent, as a parent, you're kind of just doing what you think is the right thing.
Hmm.
Because, and I also think a lot of things are just your morals. Now, how are you raised? So I understand how you're raised and how you're going to raise your kids. But also, if you think, let's say someone else, they might not have been raised in the best environment, not even their fault, but they happen just to be born in a bad environment. And they have a certain set of morals. And then now they have a kid. Now, 9 out of 10, they're going to raise their kid the same way they were raised.
Same morals, yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's hard to be a parent because there's no specific way on how to.
You think so? Because, and I guess this is my only rebuttal to this, right?
Yeah.
People have been parenting for years.
Yeah.
And people have done it successfully.
Yeah.
And other people have done it unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, if you want to be a good parent, follow people who did it successfully. And I also do believe there are books on how to parent. There are books on how to be a father and how to be a mother.
But who's
and I understand
those books are.
They're, what was you going to say?
Just because there's books on it, who's to say those books are perfect?
Also, they might not be perfect, Tyler. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But you can take certain things and add your little morals to it.
Yeah.
You know? Just kind of like when you read any book. No books are all knowing. But what you do, you take specific little tidbits and you add to your own repertoire.
But I think if those books are very accurate, we'd have much more successful people.
I just think people don't read.
I think people don't read, but who's to also say that those books work for everybody?
They might not work for everybody, Tyler, but like there are people who do it successfully that you can follow their footsteps.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is just because one person did it successfully doesn't mean that you're going to replicate that because there's so many other factors that they might have had on their side that you might not have.
True.
And
true,
I think
true.
Also a lot of the people who That's are writing true. Books, who publish these books,
mm-hmm.
are quite, to publish a book to a certain extent, you got to be in a certain class. So like, these people might be publishing books, but who's to say that this book is going to work for Shorty in the Hood, who is a single mother, whose father is barely, who's not giving child support, and she left, and she on fucking Section 8. So yeah, she could read this book, but some of this shit is like, yo, I don't have access to any of these things. Or she might not have the, also.
Some of it is just methodology, though, like how you're thinking as a parent, you know?
Yeah, but I still think there's a lot of outside factors. I also think, too, some of it is just what your kid is exposed to as well. So some of parenting, I also think, is what are they exposed to at school? So some of it might just be what this kid might see at school and then come home and you're trying to teach them this. And depending on the parent, I mean, especially in our, you know what I mean, our demographic.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I would just think it's kind of hard. It's not that easy. Because what if Shorty's just trying to work two jobs? She might not be able to give her kid that time, but she's trying her best to provide. So yeah, she's trying her best to provide to make sure that her kid has a roof under her head. But at the same time, she might not be able to give that kid that time that kid needs. But that's because she's trying to do the best thing in terms of provide. But in order for her to provide, she has to sacrifice something. So she might have to sacrifice time with the kid just to make sure the kid eats and has a place to stay.
You know, I see that point, but now I kind of think it comes full circle wherein if her parents had taught her responsibility, she wouldn't be in the situation that she might be in, and vice versa. The guy, if the father is doing that, if his parent had taught him what he was supposed to do and he had either followed or tried his best to instill in him own, like, he might not be in the situation to where you have to do that with your kid.
I guess how I'm kind of thinking about it is I understand where you're kind of coming from, but how I kind of think about it is this world is very unexpected. And I feel like there's a lot of fact. I understand what you're saying, but I feel like that's very black and white. Mm. And we live in a world where literally anything could happen.
I see where you're coming from.
So it's like, yes, you can follow these books. Yes, there's books out on it. Yes, there's this. Yes, there's that. But there are just certain unexpected things that you can't even control. But now that's your life and you got to find a way to make the best of it. And it's unfortunate, but I think that's just reality. Like, that's just reality.
I do think you can control whether or not you have a kid, though.
That's okay. For that part, I'm not arguing.
Okay.
I'm just arguing in terms of raising the kid.
Okay.
I'm not arguing in terms of having a kid.
Okay.
I understand that. Now, that part, obviously, yes. Yeah. Either you don't fuck, use a condom, or you take a plan B, or along those lines.
Yeah.
That part, I'm not arguing. Okay. You can't control whether or not you have the kid.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But in terms of how the kid is raised and
certain things are out of your control.
Certain things are out of your control.
Okay.
Having the kid, I believe, is in your control. All that part, I agree with you on that.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Not too bad, man.
Thanks.
So yes, we're getting to the end of the podcast.
Thanks.
Around this time, we typically give advice. So Trey, do you happen to have any advice?
I guess my advice would be to stay true to yourself. Try to hold your morals and being the best possible person that you can be. Now, that's not always the easiest thing to do just because we have a lot of things and a lot of things that are going to pull you away from those morals. But I believe if you stay strong to that, your generations that come after you can benefit from it. Mm. That'd be my advice.
Word. My advice would be think ahead. I think a lot of people make decisions not necessarily thinking what the outcome could possibly be without necessarily planning like 2 steps ahead, 3 steps ahead. So especially if you're about to make a decision, especially if it's a decision that could kind of alter your life or alter or change things, before you make that decision, like plan a couple years ahead and really map out what are the consequences of it. There could be good consequences, but there's always going to be bad consequences. With good comes bad. Vice versa, too. With bad comes good. So I would just say, before you make a decision, especially a big decision, think about how this is going to affect you years down the line and the type of impact it's going to. Because I feel like if you're able to think about that ahead of time, it might actually make you not make the decision. Or whoever knows, maybe the impact is going to be so positive that it'll actually force you to actually make that decision, do what you got to do. So that'll be my advice. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate you guys for tuning in with us and locking in with us. We really appreciate all the support that we're getting.
Thanks.
For real. So
good and bad.
Facts. The good and bad, bro. Haters, keep on coming, baby. Keep on.